Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's message. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if this message has inspired you to take your next step in faith, please let us know by reaching out to us through social media or the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you through his word today. Blessings.
Well, in 17 days, we are going to gather together for a night of worship and communion. And on that day, December 24th, there is a lot of things that are going to be going on in my life and your life. All right? During that day, some of us, we're going to be squeezing in some last-minute shopping and some baking. Some of us, we're going to be frantically running around the house, trying to get everything cleaned up because we've got family and friends coming. Most of us, in preparation for that night, we're going to dress up probably a little nicer than what we usually do. And if you got kids, you're going to fight with them to make sure that happens. And whatever the chaos that's going to take place and ensue on December 24th, it's all going to give way to one important moment. At 6 o'clock, we're going to gather together as family and friends. We're going to fill up the Family Life Center. And I can guarantee you one thing for sure that is absolutely happening Christmas Eve. We're going to dim some lights. We're going to light some candles. And we're going to sing some Silent Night. That's what we're going to do. I guarantee you that is for sure happening. Silent Night at Christmas Eve, it's one of those things in the modern church that we still hold as very, very sacred, right? It's so sacred that I think if we didn't do Silent Night on Christmas Eve, you might fire me. Like, that's how secret, sacred this moment is. And it's special, right? Because it's a moment where this room full of family, friends, that in this moment, as we sing that song, the room takes a breath and all the hurry stops. And just for a couple minutes, right, we remember what peace feels like. We remember what it feels like. And I think of all the things that you and I are chasing after this season. Let's be real. I think peace, that may just be the hardest gift to find in December. You see, Christmas, it has this way of taking all the things that you and I are already feeling on a regular basis, and it just magnifies it, right? So here's what I mean. If life is going well, hey, Christmas is going to feel pretty magical this year, right? But if life is heavy, well, then it's going to feel fragile. If you are experiencing some anxiety in your life right now, then this season has the ability to somehow take your breath away. And if maybe you're feeling some grief over some things you've lost this past year, well, this season has a special way of breaking your heart. And I think the reason why peace is so hard to find, and I think the reason why we crave it so much, is that very few of us actually get to feel peace. A matter of fact, most of us, we don't really feel peaceful at all. Really, a lot of times, we just feel pressured, right? We feel pressure to perform. We feel pressure to provide. We feel pressure to pretend that everything in our life is going to be okay. And what happens is you live in that pressure long enough, and it will expose some serious truth in our life. And that's this, is that our expectations and our reality, they don't always match up, right? Our expectations and our reality, they do not always match up. That in this season, we are expecting some joy. But y'all, we just feel tired. And despite what Disney is trying to sell us, we expect a little bit of unity, but family tension is real. Man, we'd love some rest, but the truth is, we just don't know how. And so what do? We scroll to escape. We binge on Netflix to distract ourselves. We numb to cope, and we hurry to avoid. And here's the thing. If frustration is the gap between expectation and reality, then if we could be honest with ourselves this morning, hey, y'all, we're a bunch of frustrated fools, right? Are we not just a bunch of frustrated fools? Because underneath all the pressure that this season can bring, underneath the noise, there is this quiet ache in all of us. And it's there. It really is there. If you just sit quiet enough, you can feel it. There is an ache in me and there is an ache in you. We are longing for the final line that we're going to sing on Christmas Eve in that room, holding candles in the dark. What my heart wants and what your heart wants is this. Y'all, we just want to sleep in some heavenly peace. That's what we want. And I think that's why we always got to be really careful when that calendar flips to December. This time of year gets a little tricky. Because you and I are some frustrated fools, it is easy for us to buy into this propaganda of peace. Now, you know this is true, right? Every ad on every social media that you're on is telling you the same thing. And here's what they're saying. You're not enough, but you can be, right? If you just buy our product, subscribe to our service, put that thing in the cart, and we start to think that maybe peace is a product. Now, the problem with that is that if you are not careful, you can get so frustrated between that gap of expectation and reality that you can actually believe that peace today is just one click away. And if I can lovingly encourage you this morning, friend, rest for your soul. It cannot be shipped in 2 days. It cannot be wrapped. It cannot be packaged. And it cannot be placed under your Christmas tree. Because here's the truth. On December 26th, after all those gifts are unwrapped and all that paper's been thrown away, you will once again remember what you know to be true, and that is this, that stuff cannot bring us peace. So if it's not a product, well, then maybe it's a person. Now listen, we joke about these Hallmark movies, right? But they've got us, and you will not convince me that there is not one script for every movie, and they just change the title, and they just change the setting. But there is only one script, and I'm going to give it to you right now, all right? There is always going to be a big city girl with a big city job, and it's the holidays, and she's coming home for Christmas. And sure enough, 5 minutes into the film, she's at the local tree farm, and there he is. It's her high school boyfriend. You know, the one she left behind? And he runs the place. And he's wearing a flannel shirt, and he's got all sorts of emotional availability. And over the next 90 minutes, with a snowflake and a misunderstanding and a perfectly timed kiss, he's going to convince her to leave it all behind and come live with him. Like this is the movie. Now listen, we laugh because it's predictable. But deep down, part of us wants to believe that maybe it's actually possible. And if you're not careful, you can get frustrated enough to believe that if I could just find the right person, if I could just find the right people, then maybe I could find some peace. But here's the problem. When the movie ends and Netflix moves on, you and I will remember once again that people cannot bring us peace. And then there's the one place we think we can find peace, but sometimes we don't, and it's strange, and that's the church. That we got to be really careful when we hang out in a place like this. That you can get caught up in that Disney Hallmark Christmas magic, and we can turn candles and carols and Christmas stories into a routine that maybe can unlock some peace. And so we take this idea of if I can just be enough, and we take it out in the world, and we can't find it in stuff, and we can't find it in people, we bring it into this room. And we say things like this, you know what, if I just show up enough to church, if I just sing loud enough, if I just give enough, if I just serve enough, then maybe I can finally find some peace in my life. And if you're not careful, listen, you can turn this thing called church into a performance. You can make this a place where you're trying to earn peace that God never asked you to earn. And when the service is over on Christmas Eve and you're driving home, you will remember once again. Hey, religion cannot bring us peace. That is because peace is not a product, it is not a person, it is not a performance. What I want to encourage you with today, week two of Advent season, is this, that peace has a name. Peace has a name. And so last week, we kicked off this season by pressing into this idea of hope. And if you hung out with us last week, we specifically talked about this 400-year period of silence from the book of Malachi to the book of Matthew. And we looked at this prophecy that Isaiah gave. And when Isaiah said that a great light would be coming into the world to push back the darkness, what's interesting about Isaiah's prophecy was that prophecy wasn't given 400 years before this silent night that Bob and Sherry talked about. It was actually given 700 years. Think about that for a second. Isaiah steps into the landscape, speaks a word of hope that light is coming. And that light doesn't show up for 700 years. 700 years of longing and listening. 700 years of holding on to a promise. This was the reality for the people of God. A promise that a child was coming. A savior was coming. That peace was coming. Now, you know what that kind of waiting does to the soul? Now, come on now. I think if we were honest, we're hanging out. We're eating some Christmas cookies and we're having some hot chocolate. I think we could be a little honest in that some of us have had seasons of waiting like that. And that waiting and that silence and that wondering, it puts a weight that is heavy on the soul. And what it does is this. Live long enough in that frustration between expectation and reality, right here. What it does is it makes peace feel fragile. So fragile that you can start to wonder if peace is even possible in your life. That's the strain. And so here's the deal. Long waits, they get us to question, right? Long silence convinces us that maybe nothing is actually going to change in my life. Live in disappointment long enough, and it can start to whisper some lies into your ear. And here's what that disappointment and frustration says. Peace is probably just one more thing that you're never going to find. And you live there long enough, you start to actually believe it. That peace just isn't for you. And what I want you to know today, what I love about Sundays, getting together in God's room, is this, is that the power of the gospel is that the good news always makes a way. It always makes a way. And the reason why I know that is because of what we're about to read and jump into. And so I want to go back to what Bob and Sherry read to us at the beginning. And I want to go to Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And it says, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." And then verse 9, I don't have it on the screen, but let me read it to you. Verse 9 says, "And then an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." And so what's interesting, today as we talk about peace, and that peace has a name, we're going to start somewhere that doesn't make any sense. We're going to start by talking about some shepherds. Now, I realize that in 2025, to talk about shepherds, it falls a little flat in this room. We don't understand the significance of these people in this moment. And chances are, to be fair, because of where we live and the time period we live in, my guess is most of you aren't friends with any actual shepherds. Now, there's always that one guy in the back. He's like, "No, I got a friend named Bill in Sistersville. He's a shepherd." All right, well, all right. None of y'all know any shepherds, all right? Because that's just not something we're doing in Pleasance County, right? Now, there are parts of the world where that's still a real thing, but not here. So we don't understand it. But in this moment, in the first century, in this incredible, important moment in history, what you need to understand about shepherds and why this moment matters and what this means for peace is that shepherds during this time, they were among the most marginalized and oppressed people in the culture. shepherds were actually considered just very, very incompetent. They were so disliked and so disrespected that there is religious writings, this is unbelievable, there is religious writings at this time that would command you that if you found a shepherd stuck in a ditch, don't save him. Just let that bro die. All right? Like there was a disdain towards these men. If you were a shepherd, you couldn't serve any political office. They couldn't use you to testify in court. If you were to buy milk or wool or a goat from a shepherd, it was considered to probably have been stolen. These fellows aren't sitting very high on the social economic ladder. They were considered dirty, incompetent thieves. And you know what's unbelievable about all of that truth is that the greatest announcement in human history is made to people that no one would have chosen. That this child has come, that this promise of 700 years is fulfilled, that 400 years of silence from Malachi to Matthew has been broken. Who gets the good news first? It's not kings. It's not governors. It's shepherds. The lowest of the low. And what this encourages me and what this encourages you today is that God brings peace to unlikely places and he brings peace to unlikely people. That in this moment in Luke 2, peace comes to the overlooked and the ordinary and the exhausted. And I know I'm talking about shepherds, but maybe today I'm talking about you. That maybe the reason why peace is so hard to grab a hold of is because your life feels a little similar to theirs. That this season of your life, you have felt overlooked. You have felt exhausted. You have felt anxious. And what I love about what God is doing in this incredible, important moment in human history is he is telling us that peace will always find us right where we are. That the good news of the gospel is I don't got to go find peace. That there is a kind of peace that will always find me. And let me tell you why that matters. It's because some of y'all walked in today feeling that. Some of us, we walked into this room feeling unimportant, unqualified. Some of us walked into this room this past week, didn't feel like we were seen by anybody in our homes, anybody at our jobs. Some of us today, we do not feel like we are enough. We are not spiritual enough, we are not strong enough, and we are not steady enough. And you live in that frustration long enough, let me tell you what you will start believing from the enemy. You don't deserve peace. Not for you, and not today. And I love these shepherds, because I think you and I maybe have just a little bit more in common with these men than what we think. That some of us have felt pushed to the margins by our circumstances. We have felt exhausted by the things that we are going through, and we have tasted the bitter sting of disappointment. That just like these men, in verse 8, you have been keeping watch over your fields at night, hoping and holding your life together, praying that something's not going to fall apart this week. Come on now. That this isn't just somebody we're reading about. The truth is, this is something that we're living. And so I think the question for us as we're walking through this season is this, and we're all going to have to answer this question. What do you hold on to? What do you hold on to when the gap between what I expected out of my life and the reality of what I'm living in, what do you hold on to when that gap is so big that peace starts to feel like it's out of reach? What do you hold on to? Well, I love that the gospel doesn't allow us to sit in that question too long, because the answer is found in Luke 2. It's the answer from the angels. It's the answer from the manger. It is the answer of Advent season. And in verse 10, it goes on to say this, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Now, if you're a church kid like me, you have heard that verse multiple times. And we got to be really careful that when we take things that are holy and we make them common. Because God is teaching us and showing us something here in this text. In this one moment, where it is a silent night and it is a holy night, and in the midst of the calm, the sky erupts and a multitude of angels fill the sky, and they bring the greatest news in the world to a bunch of lowly shepherds. And let me tell you why that should give you peace today, is because if peace could find shepherds in the night, I promise you, friend, peace can find you in whatever darkness you are walking through right now. It can. That the good news of great joy for all people to hear is this: God has not forgotten you. He's not forgotten you. We're going to keep saying that until we get to Christmas Eve, until it takes root into our heart, that the good news of great joy is that the God of the universe has not forgotten you. And this isn't just lip service from a distant deity, but this is real flesh and blood that has stepped into this earth and is going to actually do something about the problems that we are facing. That the good news of great joy is this, that you are loved by God and you are seen by the Creator. And get this, it is not because you or I did anything to earn it. That's what I love about peace. Peace is not something that we got to climb and attain to. The reality of the gospel is that peace is what comes and finds us. Because we can't earn it. We can't achieve it. You don't have to have your life together to somehow experience it. What I love about the scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, is that what you will find is a consistent theme of what God does for his children, and that is this, is God delights in bringing peace to his kids. He loves it. And I get it, right? Because, you know, I talk about my kids probably an unhealthy amount, but we got four in the Myers household, and I got to be, I'm not a fan of chaos. Just not, right? And I don't know many parents that are. Rarely do I ever go somewhere, whether it's a party with friends, whether it's the playground, or whether it's the mall, and do I just see children creating havoc, which is what they're really good at doing, and in the middle of it is just a mom or dad just laughing with joy. This is great! Never seen it. You know what I love? I love peace. I love being in a house and my kids are actually loving each other. I love seeing them get along. I love seeing the joy and the love in their life. I love when my kids are having a great day. Whether it's my 8-year-old or my 20-year-old, I love walking into a room, checking in on my kids, and finding out that everything's going great in their life. Man, I love it. And if me at 42 wants good things for my kids, loves to see them walking in joy and peace, is it not a stretch to believe that the God of the universe that created us, that spoke his breath into us, loves to bring peace to his kids? He loves it. And so this multitude of angels that has filled the sky and they have broken the silence. In verse 13, Luke tells us, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying this. Verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's the message. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. That in one powerful, long-awaited, prophesied, prayed over moment, that in a manger, a child breathes in and cries out, and everything changed. everything changed. That baby's first breath became a physical, get this, a physical revelation of God's love for this earth. When that baby stepped in the flesh, he became a physical revelation. For God so loved the world that he sent his son. John 3:17 says that this son didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. That everything changed when that baby breathed. And listen, I love me some Silent Night. But one of my favorite, maybe my favorite Christmas song of all time, my favorite line in my favorite Christmas song would be this, is that when that child appeared, the soul felt its worth. That I didn't know what kind of worth I carried until this child stepped into my life. I didn't know the value that I held. I didn't know that my life meant something. Didn't know I was worth forgiveness. Didn't know I was worth grace or mercy. But when he appeared, the song says that the soul felt its worth. And so what I want you to know this morning, December 7th, we're going to blink and the 24th is going to be here. And I don't want these next several weeks to go by and you, friend, to live in chaos and anxiety and disappointment and despair. What I want you to know today is that peace is possible, even for you, even right now. And you know why I know that to be true? Because peace has a name, and that name is Jesus. That is the name of peace. Peace has a name. It is not a product. It is not people. It is not performance. Peace has name, and it's one name, and it's the name above all names. It's the name that when he stepped into this world, and he breathed, and he cried that my soul, I wouldn't be born for thousands of years later, but it didn't matter. That moment, on that silent night, when Jesus entered into this earth, my soul had worth. I love what Paul goes on to tell us in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, for he himself is our peace. I love this. It doesn't say that Jesus brings peace. It doesn't say that Jesus has peace. It says that Jesus is peace. That's the difference. He is peace, that he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making what? Peace. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death in their hostility. And I love 17. He came and preached what? Peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. This is why Jesus came. There is this wall of hostility that divides us from God that Paul is talking about. And let me tell you the reason why your peace is so broken today. Because I do believe, no matter what you're going through right now in your life, if it's coffee and chocolate and some cookies, I think I could get there. My guess is the reason why you're struggling with peace, and I know the reason why I struggle with peace, is somewhere along the lines we have bought into this lie that if all of my horizontal relationships could be better, then I'm going to have some peace. That this gap between my value and what I have and what I earn, this gap between my relationships with my family and my friends, this gap between the value I have and the things I'm doing with my life, that there's all this strife in the horizontal. We're just not satisfied here. And so we want to shrink these gaps up. If I could just get more stuff, if I could just have more money, if I could just have more value, if I could just have better friendships, if I could just have a deeper purpose, do more, earn more, get more. If I could just shrink that gap, then maybe I'm going to have peace. Listen, that is a wall of hostility. But let me tell you something. That's not the hostility that Jesus came to break. That Jesus isn't offering today just horizontal peace. But first and foremost, what Jesus wants to do for me and you today is he wants to give us vertical peace. That there is a wall of hostility between us and God. And Jesus has come to break that hostility down. He has come to shrink that gap. That my expectations would not be for this earth, And there ain't nothing wrong about having some nice stuff under your tree. Listen, you got some extra cheddar and you want to bless your family, man, go for it, okay? God's been good to you, be good to them. And there ain't nothing wrong with trying to stack up your friend bucket and know as many people and love as many people as you can and finding purpose and being involved and volunteering and helping out. Ain't nothing wrong with all those things, but I'm telling you right now, it ain't going to bring you peace. It's this distance between us and God. And Jesus came to bring vertical reconciliation. Paul says he came to create in himself something new. That's what he says. That through his life and his death and his resurrection, that he would shrink this gap between us and God. And he would restore us vertically. And oh, this morning, if we could just understand that regardless of what is happening in the horizontal spaces of my life, if this vertical relationship between me and God is good, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. The reconciliation that Jesus is offering me and you today is this. It is reconciliation with the God of the universe. Listen, everything on this horizontal plane, we talk about this all the time. It's one phone call away from being gone. And in the age of social media, you are one post away from being canceled. That's how fragile all this stuff is. So loving that, I just want you to know, Jesus isn't interested in fixing any of these things right now. What he's interested in is fixing this. Reconciling you to God so that you can stand in the presence of God without shame, without fear, without regret, and you can know for certain that the message that was given to the shepherds is the same message that was given to me and you. That the good news for all to hear is that God has not forgotten you. And Paul goes on to say that he puts to death the hostility once and for all. That the reality is this, is that we're not just some frustrated fools, but y'all, we're some dirty fools. We got problems. Some of us, our problems got problems. And you can hide it in all of the vertical things. You can dress it up with the new things. You can cover it up with the new relationship. But I'm telling you, in the end, the truth will do what it always does. It always collects. And unless you get changed here, it's only a matter of time before it all comes out. And so what Jesus does is he kills the sin in us. That's exactly what happens. That's what Paul's getting us to understand, that when Jesus walks out of that manger and becomes a man and carries a cross, that when he dies for your sin and my sin, all of the hostility that separates us from God, all the things that cause us to go back into the things that we promised we would never do again, he kills it so that you and I can actually have peace. And I love what Paul says, peace for those who are far and peace for those who are near, right? I love that line. Like, we get the peace of those who are far, right? Because of our foolishness, we've done some things that have distanced us from God. Understand this, that there is nothing that you can do that's going to push God away from you. God's in it. But there's lots of things that we do that push us from God. And we distance ourselves with our choices. And the peace for those who are far, it's available right now. But then I love what Paul says. It's also peace for those who are near, because there's some of us that we think we're doing maybe a little bit better than what we really are. And sometimes it's not just repenting from our brokenness, but sometimes we got to repent from our righteousness. Whether I'm far away, whether I'm close, the offer on the table is peace. And what I love about this moment in Luke with these shepherds in this field is that the appearance of Jesus, it is not just a fulfillment of a promise, because it is. The promise of Isaiah that light was coming to push back darkness. In that moment, that is the fulfillment. 700 years of waiting, gone. But what I love about this moment in Luke is it's not just the fulfillment of a promise, but it's the anticipation of a cross. We just got to be real careful about Christmas Eve, because we love baby Jesus, but we can't just leave him in that manger. You can't talk about the cradle and not talk about the cross. And this baby Jesus, who steps into flesh, will become a man. And 33 years later, will come another morning. It's the morning that sealed the promise that Isaiah spoke about, that the same baby who would grow up to become a man, he would reveal himself as God in the flesh, and he would allow his body to be broken on a cross, and he would be buried in a tomb. And get this, 3 days later, the body breathed in, and when it breathed out of silence, the roaring lion of Judah declared, "The grave has no claim on me." That's real peace. Paul would unpack it back in Ephesians 2. He would say, "But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed. But you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God." Now we're almost done. I'm going to land this plane. So I need you to lean in. Everything I've said is to get to this moment right here. I'm about to give you the most important 3 minutes of today's message. And here it is. Peace isn't found in perfect circumstances. That's not where peace is. Peace isn't found in the absence of problems. That is not where peace is. Peace isn't found in better plans and easier days and quiet minds. That is not where peace is. Let me tell you, friends, where peace is found. Peace is found in the presence of a Savior. That's where peace is found. So as we get ready for communion, if you want to know today where real peace is, here it is. I need you to listen. I need you to lean in. This is where real peace is. This is my prayer for you today as we close out, is that you would be so rooted in your relationship with Jesus, that you would be so connected to him that even disappointment feels like divine intervention. That you would be so close to God that even disappointment would feel like divine intervention in your life. That's peace. That's peace. That you would be so covered in the mercy and the grace of Jesus that when you would experience something in your life that didn't go your way, you would look up to God and say, "You know what? I trust you even more. I trust you even more." That the closer that you walk with Jesus, the easier it would become for you to say this, "God, I don't understand what I'm going through, but I trust you anyway." That's peace. That's peace. And you can't achieve it, you can't earn it, and you and I, we do not deserve it. But the peace that's on the table for me and on the table for you today is this: that you would just accept what Jesus wants to give you. Paul says it's a gift. It's a gift. I think that's why we struggle so much with Jesus, because we think we got to do something to earn it, to prove it. He says, no, it is a gift right now. I hand it to you. And so this morning, as we prepare to take communion together, a couple things I had written down here in light of what we just talked about, that the peace that you and I were talking about right now, this peace was made possible because Jesus, he didn't just stay in a cradle. He carried a cross. That the same Jesus who laid in a manger was later laid in a tomb. And peace was given a body. And that body, Paul tells us, was broken and poured out for us. That communion is a time for me and you to remember that the Prince of Peace made peace with God for us. And so that's the invitation today. And so I'm just going to invite you in this moment just to bow your heads with me for just a second before we enter communion. Just want you to know that here at First Baptist, we celebrate open communion, meaning this, that you do not have to be a member of this church to participate in communion. But what we would ask is that you would have a relationship with Jesus. As Paul would tell us, that you would believe that he lived a perfect life, that he died for your sins, and that he walked out of that grave, and that you would confess that. And this morning, I would just want to encourage you, friend, that peace, real peace, is found in the presence of a relationship with Jesus. And if you do not have that today, I would invite you right now in this moment to do what Paul says, to confess and just to speak from your heart and say, God, Jesus, I believe that you are real. I believe that you are perfect. I believe that you died for my sins, that hostility that separates me from you. And I believe that you walked out of that grave, and I confess that you are God of my life, and I accept you. Change me today. If that would be true of you, we believe that now in this moment, that would be true in your heart, that friend, you are saved.